Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah in Portland.
And this is Dimity in Denver. And as I stand here right now in early March, it is snowing and 12 degrees. But in reality, I'm on my way to Mexico.
You'll be packing, and how many bathing suits will you bring?
Yeah,
and, how many bottles of sunscreen?
Sunscreen. Don't forget your underwear, Ben. Sunscreen. How many pairs of underwear do you have, Ben? But yes, I am headed to Sayulita.
Oh,
which is,
nice.
I've been
to Sayulita.
Oh, have you really?
Yes, I got to go there. When Phoebe was a baby, so probably in 2003, maybe, I got to go there on back when you and I were both freelance writers. We sometimes got to go on press junkets, and I Patagonia took a bunch of us to Sayulita for surfing and yoga retreat. And so I know that it is north and slightly west of Puerto Vallarta, and it is in a different time zone than Puerto Vallarta.
So is it really?
It's kind of crazy. So let's say your flight lands at 2 p.m., then you drive there and you gain an hour, even though, it's a 40-minute drive. Maybe it's not a very long drive, but so you get there earlier than when you landed. How crazy is that?
I like that. More time in the sun. I'll take it. The sun and surf. Yeah, so I'm excited. So how was surfing? I'm really excited to try.
So I've tried surfing a couple times, you know, from when I lived in San Francisco, and then I had some friends in San Diego. So I tried it there. I am very uncoordinated, and I'm very timid. And so I am not a risk taker or a daredevil. There were not very big waves. I would have been content to sit on my board and just bob there and chat. Some people got up, and it was, as I recall, all women. And Katie Arnold, who, as you well know, has an essay in Tales from Another Mother Runner, she was there. And so we had some fun hanging out, and she got, they had taken us to some other place that wasn't the beach that was right near our hotel, and she wanted to take one last run. I remember she kind of got tumbled around, you know, like a washing machine type effect, and the part of the board hit her in the mouth, and she got this bad cut. And from her teeth, I think. I was the only mom on the trip. You know, all the other editors were, you know, like 25 and single. And there I am, you know, in my, mid-30s, and a mom. And she just was like, Sarah. And so it was the first time I ever really felt like I was deemed maternal, and it really made me feel good. We took her to this very, very, you know, small, remote, very rustic, quote unquote, hospital to get her lip stitched up. So I shouldn't be telling you a scare tactic story, but
I wanted to hear, like, yeah, it was great. I hung 10, whatever.
Oh, I'm just lame like that, Dim. It's not my thing.
I've always wanted to try it. So
oh, good.
I don't know that it'll be my thing. I mean, the thing about that's hard with us tall folk is, you know, we have a long way to get
that's
up.
That's a whole lot of Dimity to get up.
Yep. Yeah.
Timber!
but I love, you know, I like to try new things, and,
yes.
And I've always wanted to try it. So I'm thinking, I think some of our kids, so it's going, we're going on the, we're doing the extended family vacation. So mm-hmm. It's me and my two sisters, and so between us, we have 5 kids, and then my mom and my stepdad. So,
grandson,
really excited to spend some time with them. Unplug, mm-hmm. Hopefully catch some waves.
Grant's not going.
Oh yeah, Grant's going. Yeah, our husbands are. Yeah, three husbands going as well, but they don't really count.
But I forget about them. I don't even mention them.
we're going for the kids. It will be fun. The best part is the cousin time is so fun for them. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of my older sister has kids that are exactly the same age as mine. And then my younger sister has a little peanut who is two. Mm-hmm. So he's really fun and, you know, in that good age where, you know, he's eating sand and all that, but still can kind of chat with you. His big thing these days is when he says, no, thank you. He's learning his manners. So it's great. Everything is no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Awesome. Oh, like, Brooks, can you talk to my children about using their manners, please?
Nice. And so Will, Amelia, and Ben, are they eager to try surfing?
I think they'll try it. We'll see. I mean, I have to do a little research to see what kind of age they need to be and that kind of thing. But they're both good swimmers, so, mm-hmm. you know, they'd be fine in the water. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially if their cousins try it, that's the thing. You know, it's kind of a, you know, herd mentality.
Yeah, and your one nephew is such a gifted athlete, so... I bet he'll kind of take to it like, say, a fish to water.
Well, and that's the good and bad thing is that mm-hmm. his name is Hayden. And so when Hayden does something, he does get it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so then the three of them are left like, oh, like, especially Ben. Ben mm-hmm. is Ben's the kind of kid where if he can't get it the first time, he's not going to try anymore. Mm-hmm. So if he sees Hayden, who is, you know, 4 years older than him, getting surfing and Ben is struggling, then mm-hmm. Ben probably won't get on a surfboard again.
Although Ben is so strong. So part of surfing is also you have to get to the other side of the waves.
Yeah.
You know, you have to
yeah.
paddle. And so maybe, you know, he'll triumph there.
He'll beat him to the other side of the wave and then Hayden will beat him back. They'll have a good equilibrium going.
Yes. So that's going to be fun. Are you going to do any yoga while you're there?
Because
it's kind of a big yoga haven.
Then I may. I hadn't really thought about yoga yet. I mean, the big thing, you know, going back to running is that I am not going to be walking barefoot on the beach. I mean, that will just bite up my foot like nothing else. So I'm like, what am I going to wear?
Oh my gosh.
my footwear choices are a little bit of a first world problem, but I'm like, I mean, the thing that feels best right now are my Saucony Triumph ISOs with my orthotics. And I'm like, I'm standing here now. I just came from an event and I have my dress pants on and I immediately went up and put on my Sauconys. And so I'm like, wow. So am I going to be like one of those beachcombers and like my tankini and my running shoes, you know, like with my bucket by my side looking for Shell.
Just don't wear, you know, pro compression socks at the same time. That's when I deny knowing you at all.
Exactly.
So, but I thought the UFOs slides or flip-flops felt good on you.
They do. They do to a degree. But I mean, really, I really need this little golf ball of a little wedge that's in the orthotic that elevates my toe. So you can't put orthotics in sandals. So.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Really interesting stuff. But let's go back to the water because we've got such an awesome guest that we want to introduce, right?
We sure do. What a theme there. Yes, we are honored to be joined by Summer Sanders, who is best known for having won 4 Olympic medals at the 1992 Summer Games in Barcelona. And so we're not suddenly becoming, you know, swim like a mother, but Summer has been a runner for almost 2 decades.
Yeah, she's an 8-time marathon finisher.
Yes.
Eight. Coming up on you, Sarah. Watch out.
I think, passed me in a blur. I think that was when I blinked that she passed me. And Summer is a 42-year-old mother of 2. She has an almost 9-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son, and they all live in Park City, Utah. And you might also have seen Summer Sanders on TV when she's not wearing a bathing suit in a pool, because she's a sports commentator, reporter, and a TV host.
So really thrilled to have Summer Sanders with us here today. And we know, Summer, that the majority of listeners think of you as a swimmer, yet you've been a runner for more than 2 decades. Can you tell us kind of how you went from the pool to the pavement?
You know, running to me, first of all, running to me was always just sort of a sense of youth, right? I mean, you ran out to I ran out to the jungle gym at recess. I ran wherever I was going because I was always busy and running just got me there faster. So for me, running was always a sense of freedom and youth. And then when I went to college with swimming, and you got that awesome freshman 15 or whatever it was, for swimmers, the only way we could shed that was either hop on the bike or run. And when I started running with my girlfriends, I was like, oh my God, you can have a conversation while you're working out, which was so foreign to me as a swimmer. I mean, I got in so much trouble for being chatty Cathy while I was kicking in the water. My coach just said, if you can talk that much, you're not working as hard as you should be. So I started running with my girlfriends. To me, it was just like I couldn't wait when I was done swimming to strap on my running shoes. And it was mini therapy and just an awesome form of exercise and venting at the perfect stage of my 20s.
Yeah. Well, so do you remember your first race? Like, what was your first race as a runner?
So, Dimity, I didn't race. It took me a long time before someone convinced me that I was capable of signing up for a race, simply because I felt like I possibly might explode my lungs in trying so hard and not being equipped to do it. Because I didn't know how to back down. I didn't know how to do anything half with only just, you know, half of my might. I always went for it. And I didn't have the training in running to be able to do that. So it took me a really long time. My girlfriend and I did one. We did like, maybe it was a fun random, like a 7K or something like that in San Francisco. And it was for to benefit AIDS research. And I remember going there and doing that. And it was very, very fun. And it wasn't just the race. It was the process of everything and the meaning of it all and doing it with her. And then I took a long break and I moved to New York. I was in and out of Colorado for a while. And then I discovered all the awesome races in Central Park in New York. And there's no better place to live. I know I'm sort of biased. If you love running and you want amazing races right outside your front door, then New York City. It's just every weekend there was a race in Central Park. And
so I was on the same course, right? So you know it intimately, right?
Exactly.
Maybe it's the south part or the north part, but yeah.
Right. And it was like a random distance. So you could shake it up a little bit. You know, my favorite race right now is a 10 miler. And I don't even know what that equals in kilometers, but I think it's around a 15 or 16 kilometer. But I love the random distance. Yeah.
Well, and you run now. Just tell us a little. You live in Park City, and so you run. I know you've got kind of a little posse of people with, right?
Yes, and they push me so hard. In fact, so here's my life just recently. I tried to mountain bike for a second, and I went down this mountain biking course that was super like a kid level. My 7 and 8 year old were doing it. And I am so chicken when it comes to mountain biking. I walked every single major hill until the very last one. I know this is sounding so familiar to people. Anyway, I must have tapped on my front brake. Next thing I know, I've gone over my handlebars and I'm screaming bloody murder, checking my neck to make sure and all my limbs to make sure that I can move things still.
Oh my goodness.
Well, in checking that, I checked my shoulder, my right shoulder, and I had this giant bone not popping out of my skin, but it was protruding out of my shoulder. And I come to learn that I had a 4th-degree separation in my AC joint, which is basically the equivalent of a motorcycle or a car accident.
Oh my goodness.
So, and that was Thanksgiving Day. And then from Thanksgiving until my surgery, I had surgery the day after Christmas, and then the 6-week healing process of being in a sling every single moment for 6 weeks after surgery, I have been unable to run. And it's fine. I can mentally overcome it. I see people run. It's a gorgeous sunny day and I'm stuck in a sling and I'm just fine with it. I know that it's okay. But it sure does make you love it when you come back to it. So now I just got back into running. I look at my medals from my past New York marathons and Boston marathons with, I don't know, more appreciation. But I signed up for my very first race, which is going to be on Labor Day, Chicago Women's Half Marathon in Chicago. So I have that to look forward to.
Nice. So did you come back with a run walk program, or how are you easing back into running?
Run walk. And in fact, when I was in my sling, I did some fast walking, which was really fun to me. And I'd never had the patience to do, you know, just like power walking. But it was really good. We had a puppy at the time. He's now 8 months. So it was like the perfect, let's go out for a walk, because he couldn't really run with me yet anyway. But the patience of it all. And I had like incredible patience with this, because they reconstructed my AC joint using a hamstring graft.
Oh,
but they also repaired a labral tear that had been in there since before the Olympic Games in 1992. So I had had this quote unquote bad shoulder basically my, you know, half my life. So I've been rehabbing my right shoulder forever. It was so familiar to me. So I knew the patience of getting back into it. And I'm still, like I say to people, I just got done with physical therapy right now, this moment, sitting with you. And I just was sitting in physical therapy saying to someone, the standard question now is, when are you going to be back to normal? And I say, my expectations are really low. I'm going to think I'm going to be back into the pool swimming in a year.
Wow.
And I think I can do it. Yeah.
Wow. So, and then how did you choose that race in Chicago?
Oh, you know, it's just a girlfriend race. I don't know. I love Chicago. I had such a fun time doing the Chicago Marathon. It's sort of a cool getaway at the perfect time, the beginning of school, so I can incorporate a little back to school shopping.
For yourself, not your kids.
Exactly. Is that wrong? I mean, when my kids go back to school, I need new clothes. And then, I don't know, I do appreciate the all-girls races, and I love the fact that there are some guys peppered throughout it. And there's potential that I can get some of my, you know, the girls that are special and close to me to come along, like my mom and my daughter and all that. So I like to make it a social event.
Nice.
Great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, wow. So we didn't know about your shoulder. But are you still, when you are running or training for a marathon, I mean, do you incorporate swimming as part of your cross training or are you kind of like out of the pool? Like, tell us how you would swim if you weren't dealing with your shoulder right now.
Yeah. So swimming is my original Zen. Swimming is the way a lot of people view yoga. I get in touch with my breath. I get in touch with my core. And for anybody who's like a hardcore runner and who's wanted to dabble in swimming, if you take it slowly, it's just such a great addition to the pounding that you do on your joints every single day. And you need one. Like, I love the pounding of my bones. I think it's really good for women to pound their bones because I was in a pool my whole life. So to battle osteoporosis and all that kind of stuff, I need that pounding of my bones. But I love the way swimming makes me feel and the way it gets me in tune with every single muscle in my body. So yes, I hopped in that pool. I mean, even my physical therapy here in Park City, and they're so used to the landlubbers, the, you know, the skiers and all that. And swimming is not a part of the normal curriculum out here for PT. Mm-hmm. And I said to my doctor, I was like, hey, can I get in the water and swim? And he's like, okay, well, show me what you'd be doing. And I was like, well, I'd be sculling. And he's like, okay, I need to see what that is. Mm-hmm. So I was moving my arms back and forth and showing how, you know, I can stabilize my shoulder and then move my arms in really subtle motions with like a tiny bit of pressure that's created by the water in my hand. And he's like, yes, I like this. And it just, honestly, even just floating in the water, there is something that, I don't know, it's out there in the healing world, but there's something so healing about being in the water. And it's not just the hot tub, folks. It's like the actual pool and the floating of it all and connecting and your body just is allowed to relax for a second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found that I swam a lot when I was pregnant, and I just kind of felt like there was a certain osmosis that happened, like this communing of my body with the natural environment around me. It was kind of, sounds a little flaky, but
no, yeah. It's so true. I mean, my God, you're carrying, you know, 30, 40, however much you're gaining, and then your baby inside, you're carrying so much extra weight. And when you float, all of a sudden you just feel like a normal person again. Mm-hmm. So even when you think about it, injury wise, you're so abnormal for so long and you start to overcompensate and take care of that or baby that your, mm-hmm. your injury in a way. And when you get in the water, you don't have to do that. And it's freeing.
Mm-hmm. So as long as we're talking about pregnancy, how did you change your workouts while you were pregnant? I know it was sort of close to a decade ago, but if you can think back to that and, you know, and then how did you come back after that? You know, assault your body, as it were.
Yes. Okay. Well, so I never viewed my pregnancy as like an illness, right? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, your doctor says, yeah, keep your heart rate in the 140. I just knew my body well enough to know if I'm out of breath, my heart rate's too high, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I just went by my breath. And so I, and unfortunately I couldn't run that long because I literally felt like my baby was going to pop out if I did that. So I maybe ran until 4 months And then I just, you know, I rode the bike. I would, you know, pull my book out and sit there and ride the bike and sweat a bunch. I still did weights. I did lots of squats. I still concentrated on my ab muscles. And if you've ever swum while you're pregnant, something happens with that belly when you're swimming backstroke in the water. And it's the creepiest thing you've ever seen. It like, it forms this like alien V, like this real sharp V. And it's so weird, but I couldn't get enough of it. So I'm looking in my office right now at this picture of myself in one of those Speedo training bikinis. Mm. And and there's snow all around the pool. It's an outdoor pool. And I am jumping in like a crazy person with my belly hanging out. I was probably 8 months pregnant at the time. It was so awesome. I loved it.
So let's talk about kind of I had the great opportunity to interview you for Runner's World, and we talked a lot about your mentality and how, you've already kind of mentioned it about how you are like either all on or not on, you know, like right. It's hard to find the medium ground. And as you know, as you get older and you're, you know, running these, you know, doing some sports that maybe aren't as natural as swimming. Tell us how you kind of change your perspective to kind of still get the best from yourself, but not put so much pressure on yourself.
Yeah. I think when I look at it in terms of, I love the fact that I'm still training for something. When I shifted from serious athlete to social athlete, that was the hardest shift, because I would walk into the gym and I'd look at everybody and I would just sit there sort of in awe of like, how are they motivating themselves? Like, what are they training for? I was always training for a goal, a specific goal. Every single movement, every single exercise had a specific reason and purpose. And so I was trying to figure out my purpose. So that's why I love running and I love signing up for races. And then I just got to the point, obviously, as I had kids, that I really appreciated the fact that my number one job, my number one role, my number one title, purpose is to be mom. And if mom is sick, the world in between my four walls sort of stops rotating in a way. So it doesn't help anybody if I get sick. And that was a big battle for me, because I'm a career woman. I'm training for marathons. I'm a mom. So you try to do it all and you just can't do it all. So here's what I learned, is that it's absolutely fine to take days off. There's no use in getting run down. And by run down, it's like, you know, when you're getting overly tired, just take that morning off and sleep in. And that was something new for me, because I never missed a day when I was training. I was afraid to miss a day, because once you miss one, then it's easier to miss another and another and another. But when your main job is not to train for the Olympic Games or be a Stanford student athlete, your main job is to keep your house going and everybody healthy and happy, then it's easier to listen to your body.
Nice. Nice. That's an important message to remember, no matter what level of runner you are or athlete you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know what, like a half, and I say this, like it's if you go out for a run and you're only half there, do you know, like your body is hating it. Mm-hmm. You're on the verge of getting sick. It's not a good run for you anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, don't put yourself through that and then be sick for 4 days. So listen to your body. Absolutely. Cause it's going to help you in the end. You will get stronger. Your genes are going to fit the same, ladies. Like, let's be honest. You miss a workout, your genes are going to be just fine. Maybe don't have that extra dessert at the end of the night. So yeah, you just have to remember how to balance it all, and balance is obviously the biggest key. And it, as we've talked, Dimity, it's never the perfect scale, right? It's just you hope at the end of the year it sort of evens out time-wise and quality-wise, and what brings happiness to you.
Sure. Well, you also talked about having different goals for different races, and I think that that's really important, because you've even talked now about, you know, having your girls in Chicago with you, like that's the point of that race. So, but that's not necessarily the mentality you'd take into the New York City Marathon, right? I mean, you have so you can adjust your mind as you for what's appropriate for that time in your life, right?
Right, and I think it's really, really healthy to push yourself and to have like a serious goal. I am a 42-year-old mom of two who cannot consider herself an elite athlete by any stretch right now. But I love having serious goals. Like, I when I was finishing the New York Marathon, and granted, I ran that one for reasons stemming from the 2013 Boston Marathon. But when I ran that New York Marathon, I was bawling for the last 300 yards of that finish. I mean, I was just bawling. You know, it's because I knew what my time was going to be. I surprised myself and I was like, yes, I've done it. This is so great.
Well, what was your time? You got to tell us what your time was.
Yeah, it was a 324 flat.
Wow.
324.
I think it was 324 flat or 324. It was really close to being 323. But anyway.
That is good enough for us.
Yeah. And was that a PR for you or was that?
No, I had, you know, going back in my running career, I wish when I first started running and I didn't have kids yet. I was still in my late 20s, early 30s, living in New York. I didn't really, there weren't like these major training tools that we have now. So I just sort of tried to train myself. I did a couple long runs, but I was traveling so much internationally. And I'll never forget, I ran New York. I was living in New York, so it was really convenient. And I ran New York and I'm cruising along, no problem, blah, blah, blah. And I look at the half marathon time that I just ran and it was a 1:30.
Oh my God.
And at that time, I didn't even know what a 1:30 meant, hour, 30 minutes. Oh, all right. And then I did the math and I was like, if I double that, I am running a 3-hour marathon. Mm-hmm. So right there mentally, I just like kind of freaked out a little bit. And, but I wish I had the knowledge that I have now, because I do think I could have run much faster at that moment and that stage of life. But I ran a 3:17 and I was really stoked about that. So that was my best. And that was when I was 30.
Wow. So hardly any difference between the two times.
Going into
most recent New York thinking, oh, I'll just, you know, I'm doing this for a different reason and I'm not going to push it to the wall. And, you know, I mean, so... That's impressive. Yeah. That's impressive.
It was fun. Yeah.
So maybe this is a naive question, but which is tougher physically, one of your Olympic medal winning swims or your fastest marathon?
The 400 IM by far. There's really no comparison. I mean, I put the 400 IM in front of childbirth by far.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And when does it start to hurt in the 400 IM? Like, is it from the first butterfly stroke or is it like at the very end?
Well, Dimity, it is all how you pace this sucker.
Yeah.
So I have swum and anybody who was there will never forget it at the Olympic trials in 1992. And I made the mistake. And this is why I say this translates so well to running. I made the mistake of going out too fast in the very beginning of my 400 IM. And so just for people who don't know, an IM stands for individual medley. And a 400 meter IM means two laps of each stroke, butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, and freestyle. And we would practice so much on the control and the pace at the very beginning, because really the most important 25 meters of your 400 IM is the first 25 meters. And that's when you get super psyched, right? It was my very first race at Olympic Trials 1992. I equally couldn't wait to swim it and couldn't wait for it to be done because I hated the race so much. So I felt like I was going out in control and had a great pace going. And I know my coaches were freaking out because my first 100 of my 400 IM was basically equivalent to what I would swim 100 fly in. Mm.
Wow.
Oh my
gosh. I'm cruising. I'm on backstroke and breaststroke. So if you pace this sucker incorrectly, you basically start feeling it with 75 meters to go. And I know people have used the term like a piano on your back, but my muscles, like I was physically shutting down. Mm. I was I feel as though I was very close to passing out in the water. And with 25 meters to go, the girl behind me who was in second place was, it's like she had a rope attached to my feet and was just pulling me towards her. And I barely touched her out. I mean, I won the race, but it was such an ugly race to watch. It was so horrible. So that 400 IM in and of itself is worse than any bad marathon. So like when I went out in an hour 30 and then, you know, failed to even come close to, you know, even splitting it or negative splitting it, that pain was fine compared to that 400 IM.
So, but is a good reminder. I mean, it's so easy to do that in a running race, you know, you know, it's here. Race day's here. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. I'm going to like stick with that woman who's wearing that cute pink shirt. And
and here's the deal. It's not like you can go, oh wait, that first mile was too fast. I really need to, you know, to slow it down just a little bit. Sorry to tell you, but that fast first mile is what's going to come back and bite you in the, you know what, at the end of the race.
Yeah.
So you have got to just look at anybody else around you who's sprinting at the beginning as just the biggest sucker. Just look, like put my face on their face and go like, I remember Summer saying this to me, because it's like, you can't get it back. You can't get that first mile back. It's lactic acid that's just going to hang out in your muscles and creep up on you and creep up on you and creep up on you. So,
Well, and the other thing was, so when I was interviewing you for this, for Train or not Train Like a Mother, Tales from Another Mother Runner, our new book, you said something, you quoted Runner's World. So it's kind of, you know, your wisdom, but you retained it. So that's saying something. But you said about how beginner runners focus on the pain, intermediate runners think about the distance, and pro runners think about their form. So since you're giving such good race advice, I mean, talk a little bit about that and how you incorporate that when you're running.
Well, I believe it. And I believe it because it's exactly what I did in my swimming. My gold medal race was my 200 butterfly. And we would practice this all the time. We would practice the knowledge that every single person at the finish of their race is just spent. They are so incredibly tired. So now the question is who's going to tire the least, right? Or who's going to be the toughest? And how do you get tough? You go back to form. So for me, my butterfly with my, this was the last race of 8 days of competition in Barcelona, incredible pressure. So mentally I was just drained, and physically I had no idea where I was going to gather the strength. With 15 meters to go, all I thought about was getting my arms all the way over the water. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at anything going on around me, and I knew people were right there. I knew it was a very close race. I just thought of doing an entire stroke, do a full stroke, and I touched the wall and I won. Mm-hmm. And so when I read that in Runner's World, I was like, that is exactly right. If you change your mindset to think at the end of your marathon, especially like a professional runner, you can change your mindset from the pain. You can absolutely, when you hit the wall, you can either decide to be stuck behind it or bust through it. Mm-hmm. And when you bust through it, you're on the other side. So you're not hitting that wall again. So now it's like, what are you going to think about? You want to think about that pain? No, you don't. You want to think about the cheeseburger and the big old ice cold beer you're going to have at the end? Awesome, if that's what gets you through it. But in the meantime, think of having light feet. Think of moving your arms. Think of relaxing your shoulders. Whatever can get you in that happy place or that concentrated place where you're not going to start to veer off and think about the pain again.
Tim, I got to say, I think we need, you know, Summer now to like give advice every day, you know.
Love Summer's quote, another mother runner quote from Summer. Right, exactly. Seriously. No, I know. Obviously you're very, very talented athlete, but you're also very skilled at putting, you know, big thoughts into words, which is great. So.
Oh, well, thanks guys. You inspire me to talk this way because you should see me trying to get my daughter dressed in the morning to get to the school bus on time. It's a totally different situation. I'm like, Sky, think about your form. Come on.
You can either bust through that wall or stay behind it. Come on. The bus is outside of it.
That's amazing. You're going to be so proud of yourself. Put it on. She cannot stand me cheering her on in the morning. So I'm like banned from all conversation with her. Oh, it's hilarious. Oh, so you allow me to be at my best, which is great.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
All right. So speaking of being at your best, we know that you, when your shoulder's not in a sling, that you do triathlon. So please at least tell us that you sometimes struggle on the bike portion of the triathlon. I mean, since you got the other two disciplines down.
I'm going to tell you. So first of all, you know I struggle because that's how I hurt my shoulder. But first of all, I have always loved to bike, but like, you know, that kind of bike ride where you're looking around at different things and you don't pedal for a long period of time because you're doing this awesome thing called coasting. And so I, like, again, a lot of these exercises just bring me back to my youth. And that was bike riding for me. Biking was never, it was just a faster form of getting from point A to point B. And you got to see a little bit more. So yes, I have a hard time biking. In fact, like my first real triathlon that I did, somebody, first of all, I was using my husband's bike, and it was from 1986 with the gear shifts down on the, I don't even know what you call it, the post.
Yeah, like the,
on the handlebars, but down on the post. So I had no idea how to shift my gears, and I was just cruising along, and it's in Utah, gorgeous scenery. So I'm checking out the scenery and all that. And at the end, people were like, wow, Summer, you were really fast, but your bike, what happened with your bike? And I'm like, I know, I can't race. I have a very difficult time racing biking. And if someone comes up beside me, I want to chit chat with them because, hey, if you can't chit chat on the run or the swim, you should be able to chit chat on the bike. So anyway, but I love triathlons. I think they are extremely challenging. I will say that I do have sympathy for the beginning swimmer in an open water triathlon situation. And with that being said, just quick advice for anybody who wants to get into triathlon, but is maybe a little apprehensive because of the swim. Here's the great thing. You're never going to win or lose your race because of the swim. It just isn't. I love swimming to death, but it's not long enough to put that much importance on the overall time of your triathlon, unless you're talking about like escape from Alcatraz, where I think it does have a definite, when there's a lot of current involved. But if you've got a pretty clear path and not a lot of current in your swim, you let everyone go, and then you just make yourself in the water and have yourself your own little swim. But don't get caught up in the masses. Even the most experienced swimmer can get a panic attack in that situation and a lot of anxiety. And all of that is very, very scary. And when you're scared, you overuse your muscles, and then you've wasted so much energy by doing that. And then the second thing I would say is really, really concentrate and practice using your arm muscles as opposed to your leg muscles in your swim so that you can reserve your legs for the rest of your triathlon. Absolutely. But I need to get back out there, Dimity. I need.
Yeah, you do. Do you have a better bike at this point? I mean, so you crashed your mountain bike and you got your husband's, you know, 4-decade-old bike. So you have some new wheels?
I have some new wheels, and they are hanging up in my garage on the ceiling right now, and they need to come down as soon as the snow is melted. I'll be out there.
All right, good. Well, and we know that you travel a lot for your job as a commentator and a reporter. So what are some of your favorite runs that you like to do when you hit different cities?
Yeah, so this is interesting. I first started running, and then soon after that, I got a job working for the NBA, and I moved to New York. And I felt like I hit the jackpot, not only because I loved basketball and I loved the NBA and the show Inside Stuff, but I got to go to all these great running cities. So it was like Philly and Boston and living in New York, Utah. Even when you're playing down in Salt Lake City, there's some amazing runs that take you up through the mountains and really press your lungs. But for me, it was easy. I could just bring my running shoes on the road, and it was a way for me to see the city I was in at my own pace. And in the morning, I could learn where I was going to get my coffee or a fun lunch place to go to, or, oh, I want to check out that store. I really felt like I got to know a city. When you're driving through the streets, you just don't see things because you can't. You have to have your eye on the road. But when you're running and you're taking in and absorbing the atmosphere of a city at your own pace, you really do remember it forever. And so it was my favorite form of exercise on the road, and super easy. And, you know, pair of running shoes, everything
all
else
you could
sort of like, you know, put it together as best you could if you forgot anything else, but your running shoes and you're good to go.
There you go.
Right. So we know that you love the New York City Marathon, and
yes.
As we record this, folks just found out yesterday whether or not they got in through the lottery. So will you be running?
Yay.
Yeah. Will you be running the 5 boroughs this November 1st?
You know what? I'm not, mostly because of my injury. I just didn't want to put a lot of pressure on myself to be back to that level. It's just going to take so long. But I remember that feeling, and whoever got in, congratulations. It's just congratulations, and have fun with the journey. Like, really, I enjoy the training, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never done a marathon, and you probably have, but the training portion of it is a finish line in and of itself. So getting to the start line is your first finish line, and then actually accomplishing the marathon is the cherry on top. But this training period is where you really test yourself. You test your patience, you test your perseverance and your dedication. But it's really knowing yourself and knowing when to take those days off, to hop in the pool, to hop on the elliptical, or to go out there and you're ready to do your long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I want to give a quick plug for strength training, because we talked about that. I just want to know how if you still incorporate that into your running. I mean, I know you said that you talked to, was it David Willey from Runner's World? When you wanted to run Boston really well, he's like, you've got to strength train or hit the hills or something. I can't remember exactly, but talk about your strength training.
Yeah. Yeah. I did, because when I ran Boston 2013, my legs were mush during those rolling hills the last 6 miles. And I thought, while I was running, I thought to myself, I'm not even out of breath, but my legs just gave out. And I thought, oh, I should have hit the gym more. And then I talked to the race director for Boston Marathon, the other Dave. Yeah. And McGillivray. And he said to me, oh, no. He's like, don't hit the gym, even though I think that's a great idea for runners in general, getting your glutes and your hamstrings stronger. That way your back doesn't hurt as much. But he said, you got to just run hills. So that's what I did. I ran these rolling hills out near on our frontage road on I-80 in Park City. And at the end of one of my long runs, I felt exactly as I did, as sore as when I finished Boston in 2013. And I thought, okay, I'm doing it right. Wow. And can I tell you, in 2014, I went back there and I negative split my Boston Marathon. Wow. And I felt fantastic at the finish. I was like jamming to the finish while I was recording the crowd and the scene of finishing Boston on Boylston.
Oh,
it was magical.
Gosh.
Wow. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Okay. But I think strength training, I think stretching, like I said before, I think swimming. But when you're thinking strength, a lot of people think, oh, my back hurts, I need to strengthen my abs. And I think, first of all, you have to get a foam roller and live on that foam roller. Mm-hmm. Foam roll before you run and after you run. But don't forget the before you run. And then get your booty. Take some booty classes and get that glute working and your hamstring, because it's, you know, you're asking a lot from your hamstrings and your quads and your booty. And if it's not all in sync and equally powerful, then you're gonna take it out on your back muscles. You're gonna feel it there.
Absolutely. Get your booty in gear, says Summer.
Get your booty.
That's our quote for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, it's been so great talking with you, Summer.
Oh, it's been awesome. So when am I going to see you guys? What race will I see? What are you doing? Are you doing triathlons? Goodness. What are you doing? Come on. Give it to me.
Dim is injured, unfortunately. And well, how about, could you be at Boston 2016? I'll be running that.
Seriously?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I do not know. I do not know when my next marathon is going to be. I know I'll do one when I turn 50. I like to do them decades.
That's a long time from now.
I know.
You youngster.
Well, can you believe 8 years is going to be here before you know it? But yeah, maybe a 45. Mm-hmm. You know, I have an awesome 45 birthday this year because I was born on October the 13th, Friday the 13th.
Oh.
And then leap year messed it up and I was supposed to be Friday the 13th on my 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. But so now I'm waiting till my 45th and it'd be Friday the 13th. I don't know.
I love that you know that. You're like, oh, in 3 years, I'm going to have a birthday again on Friday the 13th.
I know. Well, it's a big deal because it's in the creepy month of October and it's Friday the 13th. And it's just so awesome. I just love it. I
say to people,
yeah, whenever I board an airplane and like it's October, Friday the 13th, or I'm, I don't know, around people and they're freaking out because it's Friday the 13th, I just say, no, you're with me. And it's all good because it's a good day.
Summer's on board. No worries, people.
My nephew was born February 13th, Friday the 13th. So we got it in our blood.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dimity and I both went to Colgate in that university in that lucky, the Colgate 13. It's a lucky number. So we actually are supposed to celebrate Friday the 13th. It's like, I don't know, called Colgate Day or something like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we can have a big old potty on Friday the 13th. Isn't there one? Yeah, this month. Well, last month there was one and then this month there's one.
See, that's why we're talking about it right now. We got Friday the 13th all over the place.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. Watch the movie. Yeah.
I'll see you in Chicago. I mean, if I might be the one with that awesome sign on the side that says, this parade sucks. Somebody had that when I ran Chicago. This parade sucks. And I thought, that is so perfect. It probably does suck for you because you're just looking at people in pain. Hilarious.
Awesome. Well, thanks a ton for joining us, Summer.
Thank you. Good luck, you guys. Get well, Dimity.
Thank you very much.
So, Dim, I mean, Summer Sanders, the most amazing font of great distilled running advice ever.
I know. So, I mean, I was like, so that one time I got to interview you for your Runner's World, I'm loving it. Now it's making me so nervous. But yeah, I mean, I got to go do the color run with her and her kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny because we started really late. Mm. So we ran probably 2.3 miles instead of the whole 5K. Mm-hmm. And that was perfect. I mean, it was a couple of years ago. So her kids were, I don't know, maybe 5 and 7 or something like that, or mm-hmm. 6 and 7, they were younger. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's just a long way sometimes to go for that age. Especially when I'm taking notes, how is she treating her kids? What is she doing? You know? So we got to do that. And then I got to go back up to her house in Park City and we hung out and we did a little photo shoot, and it was just fun. I mean, so she's married to Eric Schlappi,
yes,
who is also an Olympian. Mm-hmm. And so they just kind of have this amazing setup in Park City. And the cool thing is that, you know, her attitude, which comes to on that podcast, is that, you know, she's like, you know, our kids are, you know, they can do what they want. You know, I want them to be active or whatever. It's not like, oh my gosh, you got to start swimming. You've got to start skiing. You've got to, mm-hmm. you know, start running. It's whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, as long as, you know, we're sort of Summer Sanders stories, she, when I used to write for the New York Times as a freelancer, I would do those physical gear tests. I'm remembering what they were called, but and I had to get swimmers to test swimmer shampoo. So I'm like, oh, Summer Sanders has beautiful hair. I'll have her test it. So she got sent all these shampoos. And then, you know, she and this, I guess he was a backstroker, Aaron Pearsall. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, had to send me all these notes about it, about how it felt in their hair and how well it rinsed out and how it left their hair feeling. And so.
Lovely.
Yeah. So nice. So, well, great. Well, we would love it if you would like us on Facebook. We are Run Like a Mother, the book. Our websites are anothermotherrunner.com and motherrunnerstore.com. On Twitter and Instagram, we're at The Mother Runner. Our new book, Tales from Another Mother Runner, is out this month. You can get it on Amazon and at bookstores, along with our first two books, Run Like a Mother and Train Like a Mother. And whether you are in the pool or on a bike or running, many happy yards or miles to you.